Good morning. Everyone can hear me okay? Great. So, I am so happy to be here with you. I want to thank you, truly thank you, for the enthusiasm with which you have welcomed Zetun into this community. I want to thank you for this beautiful space. I heard about it from Les, and I'm truly impressed with it. It's very, very beautiful and so functional and so warm and welcoming. And of course, your nature is very welcoming. Thank you. So, this is a version of a message I gave at Eastminster United Church in Toronto in October 2016. The congregation's theme for that season was storytelling and the power of sharing our individual and collective stories. And I was asked to share something about storytelling from a Palestinian culture. And the Habakkuk verse was the reading, the scripture reading. And as I normally do, I'd like to tie those things together, the scripture reading with some aspect of Palestine or some story of Palestine. So in this brief passage that we just heard, if Habakkuk does not describe how I think we each feel about the current state of the world, it would seem that not much has changed from 2,500 years ago when Habakkuk is thought to have lived. Yet, many things have changed, most notably the Christ Jesus experience of 2,000 years ago and the evolution of human knowledge and human consciousness, which has brought us to incredible discoveries, instant awareness and connectedness to people on the other side of the planet, but also to the brink of destruction. In these questions, if Habakkuk does not pose the greatest riddle that haunts humankind, why are we made to endure violence, wickedness, injustice, when God, in his infinite care and love, can make it safe and good and right so quickly, so easily? Here, we have the elements that form the universal engine that drives every human story. The story that everyone in every place and at every time can understand and get at the deepest level of their being. A story of wrong or injustice, and a story of redemption through love. Or rather, it is a story of the search for justice, which can only be found through love. Is there any story that does not eventually distill down to these two primary elements? Justice and love. I think they are the building blocks of our personal life, of life in the congregation, and life in society. Is there another story that is writ so large, so enduring, other than the Palestine-Israel question that distills so essentially and so obviously into these two elements? In Palestine-Israel, we see Habakkuk's complaint in its most universal and rawest form. Regrettably, the world and life is full of terrible stories of suffering and abuse and exploitation and destruction. Yet, in our present age, the unrelenting and worsening strife in the Holy Land captures our attention like no other. And we have to ask, why is that? For one, it is the land where the Christian story begins and receives its mission. The land where Christ walked the earth telling stories and performing miracles of love in order to teach us the way. The same land still echoes and beckons because, regrettably, we have yet something to learn and something to do. It endures and will continue until we truly take up the teachings of Christ to see suffering with unblinkered eyes, to understand through compassion, and to heal through love. What of the story of Palestine? This story, as all stories, is first and foremost about voice, or giving voice to an experience so that it can be shared with others. We live and experience only with and through others, and our voice is the most common means of communicating, of sharing, of touching. Voice expresses our life, our challenges, our sorrows, our joys. Voice is the essence of being, of becoming, and staying human. But what if that story is silenced? If that particular voice is not permitted to be heard? Think how significant it is that the United Church hymnals are called Voices United, and more voices. Feel how much joy you have and receive when you sing and when your voice is heard. Imagine when that does not happen. That is the most significant aspect of the story of Palestine. It is the story that many Palestinians feel has been silenced, not permitted to be shared. The story here is about the story that could not be told. It has been buried, thus condemning them to solitary wandering in the world of injustice, and worse, enduring without voice, without hope, without help. I'm here with you today, thanks to the courage of this congregation, your minister, and others who allow me to share my voice to receptive listeners. And so today, I do not feel my frustration and sense of deep alienation and marginalization as I do almost every other day. I can sincerely say that everything I have done in my activist career, founding Zetoun to bring fair trade olive oil from Palestine, founding Beit Zetoun, which was an art gallery and culture center in Toronto, which hosted over 1,000 events from all communities and all aspects of justice in a 7-year period. Trees for Life, to plant olive trees in Palestine and other lesser initiatives, is at its core to give voice, to give me a voice, and also to others, give them a voice in an area, in a subject where we cannot seem to find an entry point for open conversation, free from fear. We cannot overestimate the need to have voice, and the story is the vehicle for that voice. In today's world, we seem to have a growing popularity and renewed appreciation of the story. We hear it all the time in the media and politics, in schools and churches, the story. However, as with much in a hyper-commercialized and financialized world, it is usually story as means, as a technique, as an instrument for manipulating and selling. We are told, tell the story of your product or your service, or in the case of Justin Trudeau or Donald Trump or Hillary or other aspiring politicians, tell your story to show how human you are. Unfortunately, it is not the story to elevate and to bring us closer to God's intentions for us. These are cynical plays on our emotions and feelings of guilt or shortcomings. These are odious tales with an evil purpose to subvert the sacred role of the human story. And so I say, beware of stories. And to be entirely fair, I need to tell you to beware of what I say here today. But think on it deeply and ask yourself, does it resonate with what you know? And if you do not know, then I can you find out and learn. If the teller is trying to manipulate you with the story in one direction or another, find out for yourself what resonates for you. A story can be a very dangerous thing. I and Palestinians should know, because we have suffered the results of a story told for such ends. The Zionist story or narrative has dominated in the West for the last century, leading to much injustice and violence to Palestinians. Last November the 2nd, that's 2017, was the 100th anniversary of the Balfour Declaration, which was issued by the British colonial power, effectively one nation promising another nation the land belonging to a third nation, and was used as the founding document of Zionism in Israel. On November 29th of last year was the 70th anniversary of the United Nations partition plan for Palestine, which gave a Jewish state 55% of the land when it only held 7% of the land. And the Jewish population, made up of mostly of recent immigrants, was only 33%. And after a stormy passage of intrigue and intimidation by Western powers, including Canada, which had a very large role to play, it led to the Nakba, or the catastrophe in Arabic, because the word is Nakba, it means catastrophe, where 750,000, or 3/4 of the Palestinian population, was expelled and ethnically cleansed from their homes and land and made refugees to this day. And next week, is the 70th anniversary of the Nakba. It is marked on May 15th, and the day after Israel was declared a state in 1948. The dominant narrative in the West gives the impression that the ethnic cleansing began on that date, but in fact, it came right after the UN vote back in November. And by May 15th, fully 400,000 Palestinians had already been expelled and many massacres committed. The other marking event, of course, is the Six-Day War, when all of remaining Palestine was conquered by Israel. And that turned 50 last year. So these are the dates and events that brand the Palestinian experience of non-existence and story denied. This is the genesis of the world's largest and longest refugee crisis, something that is hardly mentioned even as refugee and refugee crisis has become a routine subject in the newscast. And what of my personal story? In my story, I remember when I was 13 or 14, and my mother telling me about the massacre of Deir Yassin, a small Palestinian village now part of Jerusalem. It happened on May 9th, 1948. It's the most dramatic and now well-known of the 30 or more massacres in that time, when hundreds of Palestinian women and children were butchered as a way to terrorize others to leave Palestine. And I shouted her down, most cruelly, because I did not believe her. As this was not what I learned from school or in the media. This was 1970s Montreal, when Israel and Zionism was supremely dominant and awareness of the Palestinian story non-existent. It was pre-internet and pre-Wikipedia, and there was no way for a young boy to find out. And to this day, I am so ashamed that I denied my mother's story. Yet we can say also that the stories are what keep Palestine alive, if only in the spirit of the Palestinian refugees living in occupied lands and the diaspora, such as my family. Speaking about Palestine and the Nakba, or the expulsion of the Palestinians in 1948, David Ben-Gurion, the founder of Israel and its first prime minister, infamously said, "The old will die and the young will forget." He did not count on the stories which connected the old to the young. The old tell their stories from their childhoods, the good, the bad, and the ugly ones. And the young listen and they remember. Thus it has been for three generations, going into a fourth. For myself, I missed many of the stories of my parents' life and of Palestine before and after 1948. When they would begin to tell their stories, I would run away in tears, even as an adult. I simply could not bear to hear them. I was afraid of the pain of a past I did not experience myself, but somehow knew in the sadness of my parents and our family. My parents have passed away. And now I'm left sad and angry at myself because I will never know. I would like to end the story with a story of a miracle from the land of miracles. We could not say that my father was a very religious man, as he attended church only on the great holidays. However, he was born in the land of miracles, and he was to experience a miracle which made him devoted to the Virgin Mary. He worked as a tradesman in convents around Jerusalem. And one year, the nuns of St. Joseph's Convent asked him to set up a special outdoor lighting for the Feast of the Virgin. Working on a rainy day, a mishap occurred, and the power was somehow not turned off while he was working on the electrical wiring. And he felt himself being strangled by the wires and the electric current. And as he tells the story in his last moment, he looked to the statue of the Virgin in the garden and asked her to spare his life for the sake of his young family. Immediately, the wires relaxed their grip, even as my uncle, who worked with him, was running to shut down the main power switch. During his life in Canada, in the corner of his garden, there was a concrete statue of the Virgin Mary, painted in her colors with elaborate lighting. And whenever he told his story, his eyes would mist. Just as in my father's story, we can see the simultaneous hot and icy hand of deadly power in the land of Palestine, Israel. It is strangling hope and life on all sides, but especially that of the weak and defenseless Palestinians. Suffering and death needs to be lifted from the Holy Land, just as it was for my father in the garden. A miracle is needed. It is the miracle of compassion and love to let another live their rightful destiny with justice. Returning to Habakkuk's plea or question about ending violence or wickedness, and after reflecting on it, I have come to think that it is an unfair and even childish question. In fact, it's rather self-serving. It would get humans off the hook if God were to somehow step in and end all violence and injustice. It reminds of children in the schoolyard waiting for the teacher to intervene and bring peace to them, rather than learning to live together in harmony. So to my mind, the miracle is not divine intervention. It will be our human participation in demanding justice and stopping a crime. For us in Canada, in the sacred space, we need to find our voice and our courage to be part of the human miracle. In the United Church, especially, there's no shortage of paths to become particularly involved, to become involved in Israel-Palestine, particularly through the Unsettling Goods campaign, of which the Advent Peace Box was a part, and also to boycott Israel's war-making capacity. We can also support our church leaders, and this is very important, I think, support our church leaders in the hierarchy to have greater courage and conviction in the face of attempts by forces to deny or trivialize or to misrepresent the Palestinian story and reality. So it is my sincerest conviction that the Holy Land and the entire world needs voices and more voices. So it is my personal plea to you that you join with your individual and collective voice. And so before I close, I want to welcome you to join me in room 1 and 2 following the service. There'll be an informal conversation and Q&A. I'll be very, very happy to meet with you and answer any questions, have a conversation. This is what I try to do. My words cannot convince you. They're not meant to convince you because it's not possible. I can only connect you to a certain reality to generate an interest on your part, a true human interest, so that you self-educate. Because Palestine, Israel is so fraught with stories, and a lot of these stories are actually not only are they inaccurate, but they're meant to misrepresent. And in an hour or 2 hours, there's nothing I can do. I can only connect you to it as a real, the word escapes me. It is just so incredibly important for the future of this planet. I believe peace in Israel and Palestine is what will save this planet, because Israel and Palestine has divided the world for 100 years. It has paralyzed it. It has bankrupted it. If we're going to save this earth, we're going to have to come together through law, international law, and governing structures like the United Nations. And by the way, that's the substance of my talk, more or less this evening at 7 o'clock. How a just peace in Israel-Palestine can save our planet. And I hope you can make it. Thank you so much. Thank you.